Welcome back, New Talkers, to the Bob Davis Podcast's The New Talk. This is Podcast 622, and it is a walk and talk. And of course, the rules of the walk and talk are no notes, no preparation, no plan. So I really don't know what I want to talk about. I kind of have an idea in my head, some of the stuff I've been thinking about today. But the rule is you're not supposed to know what you're going to talk about. So it's kind of hard to follow the rules of podcasting, which is you have to tell people in the first 15 seconds what you're going to talk about, because if you don't, they're not going to know. Well, I don't know. So you and I are in the same boat at this point. So welcome to Podcast 622. Spring, and it's going to be getting warmer. It's beautiful, and I love this beginning springtime, this promise of spring kind of thing that goes on with just the budding trees and everything else. And of course, when it is warm enough, you can have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come over and check your AC. It has to be 70 degrees to have them come over and check your AC, but it's a good idea to do it because you've been running the heat all winter and you want the AC to work, especially in Minnesota. People do not like heat and they turn the AC on. I never do. I have never turned my AC on during the summer. It just, I don't care if I sweat. I love to be hot, so it doesn't bother me. But most people in Minnesota that I know fire up the AC as soon as they can. So in order to have them come over check, it has to be at least 70 degrees. But I do want to mention that one of the things we've been talking about when Greg and I have been getting together is this idea that if you have leaky faucets or if you have a leaky water heater somewhere, you may not even know it, but it's going to add significantly to your water bill. So if you're at, you know, and this is true if you're in business or for home, a leaky faucet can add lots of dollars to water bills. And the thing about water, and you don't notice this either, but water isn't cheap anymore. You know, when I was growing up, the water bill was like $2 a month, right? So, you know, you probably have that same experience where you look at your water bill now and you're like, oh my God, you know, this is the water bill. So you can really, you kind of have to watch your water situation. So if you have questions about leaky pipes, faucets, and water heaters, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. So Plymouth and New Hope, as well as Eden Prairie or West St. Paul, they're all over town, and both Minneapolis and St. Paul. And you can call them in St. Paul at 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. For four generations, here's what they do. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. They are in St. Paul. They've been in St. Paul for four generations, so this is a great business of St. Paul that everybody knows. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And don't forget Ryan for emergency service as well. All right? Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. So here's, aside from the Easter brunch stuff, one of the things I did was I toured a brand new space that's going to be for a manufacturing facility that was just massive. And it was pretty much empty, and we got to tour it and find out how things are, they're going to lay things out and how the machines are going to get laid out. And, you know, the rules for, you know, how a company is laid out, you know, when you're doing a new manufacturing plant, stuff like that. That was super cool. And then I went to a cocktail party that was made up of a whole bunch of different people, you know, from different walks of life, pretty much, and different political, you know, persuasions. And we all had a fantastic time. And at the end, after a bunch of the people left, a few of us were standing around, and the hostess said, gee, isn't it great that we got to spend the whole evening and we didn't talk about Trump once? And I that's kind of stuck with me just from a podcasting perspective, because there are certainly enough political podcasts to catch your ear. And the cool thing about podcasting is I don't have to go back and tell you the latest on the North Korean situation or the latest on what Trump said today or this or that or the Easter egg hunt or whatever controversy is going on. I don't have to give you a complex, military explanation of North Korean capabilities versus the USS whatever and the fleet and tell you what's going to happen and predict things and explain this and explain that, because if I haven't already done that, I've laid the political groundwork in previous podcasts. So if you want to listen to those podcasts, that's great. And when I do walk and talks, now I'm not really fully walking here because it's a little breezy. I thought it was really dead out here tonight, but it's kind of not. And so especially when the planes land over my head, I've been kind of watching this, and I watch it during the summer a lot, but on a particularly dead night, you don't realize these planes have quite a wake. So they actually kick up a breeze when they roll through, even though they're a good, probably 2,000 feet at least over my head. And I just noticed that. So I'm kind of in a little tight space in between some trees here so that I don't get into the breeze and you don't hear the breeze in the microphone. But it's still technically a walk and talk because I'm just kind of walking up and down the street here and kind of in the shadows and on the path here and there just to try to stay out of the wind. But I thought that was an interesting observation and I've made it before in previous podcasts about how podcasting doesn't have to adhere to this minute by minute, up to the minute, this is what's happening, this is what's going to happen, now you're up to date kind of mentality. I read a thing this week that somebody said podcasts should tell a story and they're not Bonnie and Biff morning show, fodder radio kinds of things. The best ones kind of tell stories, and that's true. That plays out in terms of usage, whether it's the kind of podcast that's about something really, really specific, like how to flip a home, or whether it is somebody telling a crime story or something like that. So that's kind of interesting, and I kind of like that I don't have to sit here and talk about the political situation. I mean, it's suffice it to say that we're in a flux period for politics. Things are changing. Things are going to happen, and we'll talk about them when they happen. But we podcasters do not have to, literally hose down these topics podcast after podcast after podcast. We can talk about other things. We can illuminate other parts of our character. Now, I'm going to step aside a little bit so you can kind of hear that breeze. See? I don't know if you can hear that on the microphone, but when the planes fly over, they leave a wake, and it literally kicks up the breeze, which is kind of interesting. I never thought about that before. Even though I love aviation and I love planes, it's just interesting that I would never think something that high up would kick up a breeze this low. But apparently they do. So that's an interesting thing. But I'll tell you what I've been thinking about. So all day I've been thinking about just business. I've been thinking a lot about business. And tonight I got back from yoga and I was thinking, I wonder how long I've done this. Like, it was, it's kind of funny because I couldn't remember how long I have been doing self-supporting podcasts. And that is, I've been in business supporting myself doing podcasts. Some months have been better than other months, but for the most part, since August of 2013, I have been pretty much pure play podcasting and supporting myself with podcasts. Now, I've certainly been podcasting since 2009, so almost 10 years of podcasting, but really in earnest since 2013. And it seemed to me that it was a lot longer than that. And I thought, wow, I haven't even been doing this for 4 years. This is just coming up on 4 years of doing this in earnest and doing it, throwing all caution to the wind and just saying, this is what I'm going to do. And that provoked a whole chain of thoughts about what I've learned and how my thoughts have changed and how my thinking has changed since going into business for myself, because that's really what this is. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are work in the construction industry, or they're real estate agents, or they're, you know, software developers, or they're advertising guys, you know, all kinds of different things. And people say, you know, I really want to go into business for myself. I think it'd be really cool to go into business for myself. And I push it because I do think it's the future. I think in the future, we're all going to be independent contractors of some kind or another. So I'm a big proponent of going into business for ourselves, because I think ultimately we are in business for ourselves, but there's a mentality and a thought process that goes with working for a living and getting a paycheck versus being in business for yourself. And we talked about this a little bit at the cocktail party on Sunday night. For those of us who are in business for ourselves, and some who have been in business for themselves and have said, I'm going back to work. This is real. I'm going, quote unquote, back to work. And others who were like, yeah, you know, there was a woman there who just went back. She's basically freelancing, but she went back and she said, you know, this is the first. She was complaining because she's got to get up really early, because most of us who are night owls and we're in business for ourselves, you know, we tend to stay up late. And, you know, you're always working. And so she said, this is the first week that I've actually been able to relax and to sleep and to not worry about some crazy thing with the business, because I don't have to worry about that anymore, because I've, you know, I'm working and I'm getting this paycheck. So there's positives and negatives to both. It's just, I think ultimately we are all going, I hate to call it the gig economy, because that's not really what it is, but in some ways it is. It's, I'm going to provide a service and I'm going to get paid such and such amount of money, and that's the way it's going to be. But your thought process changes. And honestly, I felt like when I had to go back. So I went onto my website and I did the search thing where I searched for, you know, the podcast. And I couldn't remember if it was podcast 56 or 59 that was the first podcast back after I left the radio station and started doing podcasting. You know, it took me a while to find it, and I was, you know, toggling around and, you know, poking around in the closets of the website trying to figure out where this podcast was, and I finally found it. And it was August 2nd or so, 2013, that I started back into this. And this was the weekend that you know, I got fired, came home, started working immediately on the website. And within 4 or 5 days... I had been posting on Facebook. I couldn't figure out how to get the, I could not figure out how to get the website. And that's when my friend Mitch, you know, called me up and said, hey, I'll help you out. And we got the website up. He did the website, but we got it up and running. And then I had to reload 60 podcasts, which I thought was an enormous number of podcasts at the time. And I did the first podcast 59, with my friend Jesse and here at the broadcast bunker at 1 o'clock in the morning on a, I guess it was a Friday, I don't remember, and that was, we were off and running, and they've all been sponsored in one form or another. And I thought that it seemed like it was 10 years ago. I mean, for me, it seemed like it was so long ago, but it's just coming up on 4 years. And I suppose I could save this for the 4 year anniversary of the Bob Davis podcast. I don't really follow those sort of milestone kinds of things, but, you know, isn't that interesting that I thought it was that I've been in business much longer than I actually have. So it's really interesting to me how what kind of changes you go through when you're in business, and how your thought processes change, and how hard it is to rid yourself of the thought processes that you had when you were working for a living, so to speak, because you're going to work a lot more. You're constantly working, it isn't like you're working. You're constantly thinking about the business, and you're constantly noodling away on the business, and that's what wears you down a little bit. So you got to learn to take breaks from that. But I don't do that anymore. I don't take breaks from it anymore. I don't want to take breaks from it anymore. When I wear out thinking about a particular one thing, I start thinking about something else. And I've been focusing a lot lately on what I spend my time doing, because I think Because when you're in business for yourself, you're on it 24 hours a day. You dream about it. You know, you're constantly thinking about it 24 hours a day. You don't devote a lot of time to how you're spending your time. And so I kind of thought a little bit about how I spend my time and kind of monitoring my decisions of late of why I did this or why I did that, and thinking, you know what, I made some pretty good decisions this year. You know, the big decisions, like getting Mobile Podcast Command, which, you know, wasn't free. It cost me some money, especially to get it ready and get it mechanically sound, and I've spent money on it over the last couple of years getting it. That's the Mobile Podcast Command. That's the 454, you know, diesel ambulance. And I had a fair number of donations, but I also had to, you know, do quite an outlay of cash. So, you know, I was like, I have to be fully committed to doing this and figuring out how to make this work if I'm going to do it. And, you know, that was probably the biggest decision that I've made. And then recently, you know, I talked about quitting a radio show and also some other things that were really kind of time sinks for me. They ended up being a lot of time spent on stuff that I didn't necessarily feel that I was getting anything out of. So I'm kind of fascinated with how your thinking changes once you get into business for yourself. And any of you who are in business for yourself, boy, you know, I look back on myself 4 years ago and I there's so much I didn't know, and there's so much that I was unprepared for. I'm still having fun. Like, I was having fun then, I'm having fun now. It's a huge challenge. I love the challenge. I believe in doing the harder thing first. So I'm one of these people that, you know, I'm going to do the harder thing. I'm not going to do the easy thing. And it's just the way I'm set up. I'm not going to go get a part-time job and do this. Or in my thinking, you know, when I think, God, I think I should get a part-time job, what ends up happening is I think, if you're thinking about getting a part-time job, just go out and get two more clients, and that's like two part-time jobs. How dumb are you? You know, just go get some more sales, grow the business, and you don't need to get a part-time job. But, you know, people do it because they're like, well, I got to have an income stream. I'm not going to take a risk that I'm going to, you know, run out of road at some point, and then what am I going to do? So it's really interesting, the processes that you go through mentally thinking about business, and then thinking about the business of podcasting and what it is and how it works and content creation. So I want to talk a little bit about that in this podcast for people. I don't really do it very often, just share some of the things that I've learned, because I kind of think some of that is proprietary, but I'm going to do that in this podcast, to share a couple of things I've learned about podcasting, because I think it addresses the business overall of podcasting, since there's so many people doing it now. And I'm kind of becoming interested in furthering the business a little bit. So I'm going to share some thoughts about monetizing podcasts and what this actually is a little bit in this podcast. So we're going to do that here in a second. Well, with spring, great weather also comes light, and we are already on daylight savings time. I think the sun went down at 7:30. I can hear people riding motorcycles out there, and with spring weather, you are seeing motorcycles, and it's a good thing that you're seeing them. And if you ride, you know how important it is that people see you. So for lighting options, check out Ciro3D.com. Great motorcycle products and accessories, especially lighting options and solutions. Badass LED lighting solutions for the back of the bike, so that people can see you from behind, so they can see when you signal, and really awesome lighting options for the front, especially certain types of lights, the LED lights that are super bright, but also they have this really cool ring that goes around that front headlight that, if you have a cowling, lights around the bike. Plus, you know, decorative lighting, like shock and awe lighting systems that give you these badass lights that change change colors and are Bluetooth controlled, you know, phone holders that are amazing, drink holders that are amazing. Check out Ciro3D, C-I-R-O-3D.com. See what they've got, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you right to their main page at Ciro3D.com. Now, you will hear me talking about it. In fact, there's two more stories this week about the administration's efforts to restart manufacturing in the United States. It's definitely problematic. There are reasons to manufacture in the United States. There are reasons to manufacture overseas. If you work for a company that does a lot of manufacturing, if you're in the decision-making chain of a major company that does lots of manufacturing, especially medical devices and things of that nature, you really should consider manufacturing here in the United States. And if you are, if you're bringing some of your manufacturing back to the United States or all of it, you want to think about Depot Star, American Manufacturing, Engineering, and Design, DEPOT, DepotStar.com. Visit their website at DepotStar.com. So I was talking about being happy with some of the decisions I've made, and I don't need to tell you what the decisions were, but there are a couple decisions I made this year in the years that I've been doing this, which is not very many, you know, that I've been actually in business podcasting. You know, obviously having the mobile unit was a big decision. I didn't take that decision very quickly. And as I've often talked about, without getting into, you know, my friend Ed at X Government Cars, because this isn't one of the podcasts that he sponsored, but I wanted a van, and the storyline is basically that I love to drive around and travel in the car, and it's a big adventure for me. And I used to go over to X Government Cars just because in the first months of being in business, it was like, you know, you pull your clients that are helping you start up really close. And so I consider Ed, you know, Johnson at X Government Cars kind of a mentor in that sense, because he's the one that told me when I talked about doing this, he just said, just do it. You know, don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about whether it's the right thing to do. Just do it and see what happens. You know, you can overthink stuff. You kind of just got to go for it. And you don't hear that advice from a lot of people. And I remember being in a party at Ed's, and somebody was saying, well, I was talking about writing books because I thought maybe I would write books or something. And I still, you know, I've got, you know, I have a couple stories and I have an audio book. And so, you know, I was talking about that, and some guy said, oh, well, you'll never, you know, that's not going to be anything that you're going to want to spend time with. And Ed was like, hey, that's his dream. Don't let him have his dream. You know, that's what he's thinking. Who are you to judge what his dream is? And I never forgot that. But, you know, so I would put all my podcast equipment, which consisted of this thing and my computer, my digital recorder, my computer, and some other stuff, in my car, and I would go on trips. You know, I went out west, and I went, I went out east a couple times, and I'd be in the car, and I had nowhere to sleep, and I was exhausted, and I didn't want to stay in hotels because I didn't have any money. And I was just like, you know, I need a van. So I wanted to get a van just so I could have a mattress in there and lay down and sleep every now and then. And he was like, I'm going to get you an ambulance. You don't need a van. That's just stupid. You need to get an ambulance. And so he got me an ambulance. And I've told that story 100 times. That was a decision that I really had to think about. And I was like, well, I don't know. You know, it's going to be, I don't know. And he was like, no, it's going to be great. And, you know, the thing was actually cheaper than a van, although, you know, getting the mechanics squared away and getting it painted and stuff wasn't necessarily cheaper than a van. But you know what? It worked out really well in the end. But that was a decision that I really thought about a long time before I pulled the trigger on it. Like, he kept telling me, we can do this. And I was like, I don't know. And finally, I was like, let's do it. Come on. So then we got it. And it was great. He showed me a picture of it. And I was like, I got to have it. So that was the beginning of that. That seems like a million years ago. And it was like 2 years ago. And it was 2 years ago, April, something like that, because I think I'm on the second round of tags. I just got the tag thing in the mail for it. So I think I'm on the second round of tags for the truck. And, you know, then I had to figure out where am I going to store it. And it took me a year. It was parked at the U-Haul place outside in the winter. And I hated that. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and worry about my van and my truck. And then I finally got it into a heated garage, which is great. So it's perfectly safe. And it's, you know, nobody knows where it is. And I'm super happy about that. So I don't worry about it anymore. But that was a decision that took a long time to make. And then I finally made the decision. It wasn't like, okay, you know, I think I'm going to do this. And I did it. And then just recently, I made two decisions that I'm really happy with, and I don't need to go into too much detail about it, but they were decisions that I made. One of them I made before the first of the year, and I waited 3 months to pull the trigger on that decision. And these two decisions involved the time that you spend on various things. So I'm learning to really examine what I spend my time on, which is really interesting. So, you know, and that decision, like I said, that was a decision basically to get rid of the radio show, which I was spending a lot of time putting together, and I felt like I was detracting from the actual podcasts content-wise, and it took me 3 months to actually pull the trigger on the decision that I made, and I made every effort to make sure that I was right and that I put enough effort into doing that. But here's the thing about this business. So if you're a content creator, if you're a podcaster, if you make YouTube videos, if you are a blogger, if you do some kind of whatever, you know, this is an interesting thing because it's not like other stuff. You know, I come from a discipline of broadcast, and you know, I've made a lot of value judgments about broadcasts and, you know, negative value judgments about radio and corporate radio and the way things are now in the radio business. And, you know, I'm not going to deny those. I mean, I still feel very strongly that the radio business is in serious trouble for a lot of reasons. But for podcasters, podcasting isn't radio, and it's nothing like radio. And there's, you know, you don't have to worry, and I'm almost saying this to myself, that when you are trained in broadcast, you have a tendency to feel as though you've got to go bang, and there has to be, a plan, and people have to know what you're going to talk about, and all these things. And some of that's true in podcasting, but not necessarily. It can be something else. That's why I said at the beginning of the podcast, I'm relieved because I'm not going to do another political podcast. I'm not hosing down Donald Trump again. We'll leave that for another day in another podcast. And quite frankly, if I wake up tomorrow and want to do a podcast about that, I can post another podcast. It's no big deal. I don't need to wait or do three or four podcasts like that. But I read this thing, and I don't know if I mentioned this already in this walk and talk, I might have, but I read this thing this week that the best podcasts tell a story, or they are specific to a certain kind of content. And that they're not like Biff and Bonnie morning shows, the two goons on the mornings, or, you know, whatever they call these radio shows. They're not like, Savage, or where somebody comes on and you hear the hard rock music and the guy says, you know, this is a real American, Joe Jones, and he's going to, you know, like that. It's not like that. And if you do it like that, it's probably not very good. It's probably not very listenable. It's just not the same kind of medium. It's different. It's much more personal, and that's why I love it, because you don't have to talk about that stuff that are all the time. Now, I'm deeply interested in political stuff. I'm really obviously into political stuff and society and news and politics, and I will, you know, I'll always talk about that stuff. But I am thrilled by, you know, just from a content perspective, you don't have to do that in every podcast. Took me a while to learn that, you know, and I guess it hasn't taken that long to learn that since I've only been doing this for 4 years. But still, it seemed like it took a long time to kind of get settled down and realize that you can grab the digital recorder and stand out here in the flight path and walk up and down the street and just talk about the business of podcasting. The other thing is, It takes a while to figure out how to monetize this. I've learned a lot in some of the other consulting work I'm doing lately that different podcasters have different ideas and ways to monetize. Some of them have online stores where they sell stuff from people that they advertise. Some of them have, clothing lines that they sell. Some of them, you know, put spots in the middle of the podcast. Some of them do insertions. Some of them do live shows. Depending on the type of podcast, there's all kinds of different ways that people monetize these podcasts. And I think you kind of, if you are doing this, whether it's a YouTube channel, the original model was, get enough views to get AdSense to give you money. So Google would put, they would insert, some kind of ad in your YouTube channel or something like that, and you get enough money from the YouTube channel or your blog or something like that, and then you could live on it. And some of the early people did very, very well. Some of the early bloggers and YouTube people did very well. And then, of course, as they got more and more people, they started to change the percentage of the amount of money that they actually give you. But some people do really well. But you got to have a lot of views. Like, 10,000 views for one of your YouTube videos isn't enough. I mean, you got to have hundreds of thousands of views to make money doing that. So the thing that's interesting about it is, we're content creators. We're creating content. And usually it's unique content. So if we do a podcast that's about flipping houses, and we're really good at flipping houses, and we're sharing content about how to flip houses, a lot of people go, oh yeah, those house flipper guys on YouTube, I know who that is. But there's probably 50 other people doing that in some way, shape, or form, and those people are making a living too. So you figure out when you're doing it, I think I can find a way to monetize this in a certain way. How much do I charge? And you kind of just gotta figure it out. It's funny how some of these people, they examine all the other podcasts. They talk to other people that do podcasts and figure out how much they charge, and then they figure out what the price points are and all this weird, I've never done any of that. I just figured out, this is what I'm going to charge, and we'll see what happens. And if I have to adjust prices or adjust packages, which I have and I'll continue to do going forward, I will. I'm not going to worry about finding out what everybody else is doing, because I hate that. I like to blaze the path. I like to cut through the path myself. Even if there's a perfectly paved path next door, that's not good enough for me. I have to make it difficult and impossible and hard to keep it interesting so I don't get bored, I guess. Maybe that's what my problem is. There's a kid that does a YouTube thing that he just rides elevators, and he's just really, he's really weird. He rides elevators, and he's like, okay, so this is an Otis 4550, and it's pretty nice. It's got some nice paneling, and this guy has like tons of views because that's what he does. It's an honest thing that he just thinks elevators are super cool, and he rides elevators all over, I guess it's Los Angeles. And there's so many really cool, things that people do. So the new thing is, and maybe it's not a new thing, I think it's just the best being authentic. And I hate the word, because now it's been overutilized by, talent coaches and everybody else. Well, you have to be authentic. And it's like, I think you just have to pull content from your life and present it in a way that is really interesting or not. Maybe it's just mundane. I listen to some podcasts and it's fairly mundane, but sometimes that's really interesting. Sometimes it's like, I really like this guy. And that's great. So it's a really interesting medium. It's a new medium. And I'm going to pitch again. I'm going to say to people who are listening, who are business people, this is really a frontier. There's a show called The Sun. I don't know if anybody knows about this, but it's about, West Texas, and it's, the guy's a rancher, and it's at the dawn of the, the age of petroleum, and he's drilling for oil on his land, and the sons still want to keep the ranch, and wants to get into energy, and the rest is history, right? And I was thinking about it. I was sitting on my porch, and I was thinking, 100 years ago, you pined away to get enough money. You tried to squirrel away enough money to buy property, and if you could amass enough acreage, you could run enough cat. You could either farm that acreage and get up enough money to farm it, or you could run so many cattle on it, or you could get up enough money to buy property and buy some houses and build some apartment buildings and things like that. And that's how it worked. You built built real estate businesses or you built a ranch, you got up enough oil wells or you got enough retail locations or whatever it was that you did, whether it was dry cleaning or ranching, it was all about things in the world. Like you had to create something in the world. Or if you were manufacturing, you know, I'm not going to go on and on with the metaphor. It's just you get the idea. And I thought to myself, I was sitting, you know, drinking my coffee this morning, sitting on the porch in this beautiful spring, just this early spring. We still don't hear, we hear the birds, but we don't have the insects yet. But it's just fantastic, this beautiful spring that we're having in the upper Midwest. And it occurred to me, and this is nothing new. I mean, this certainly should not be a revelation to anybody that's listening, because we all know it's true. But the internet provides us with real estate. So if you, you know, own a website, you have a piece of real estate on the internet, and you can make that real estate as big as you want to make it. It can be 1 million acres if you can figure out how to create the content that people come to it for. And even if they don't, even if it's not that compelling, you create enough and use digital marketing and use tools enough to build that website up into something that's bigger. It does not have to be the biggest website ever. It does not have to be the most incredible website, the most creative website ever. It just has to serve your purposes. And you can be medium-sized or small. In fact, most websites are small and still make a living and still be happy and still do what you want to do. You don't have to do that. That's a tectonic change from the entire previous history of human beings. Because for the first time, you can make money with a space that doesn't even exist in the real world. You have to change the way you think. You have to change in your mind. You have to change your imagination. You know, someday I want to retire and I want to have a ranch, you know, or someday I want to be able to sit on the porch and stare off into the abyss. Whatever it is that you're interested in doing, but you don't need any of that. You know, you don't have this incredible building thing because you can build a company, you can build a successful thing in cyberspace from the ground up, and there never even has to be a building. It's in your computer, basically. And I think that's fascinating. And, you know, there are definite qualifications. I can just hear people say, well, hell, at some point you got to hire employees and blah, 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 blah. And yes, that's true. But it's a departure from any previous age in human history because we don't necessarily need to build buildings and buy the land and graze the cattle and farm it and build plants and roads and things like that. Certainly the infrastructure has to be built in terms of the internet, but you can use the existing infrastructure in ways that you couldn't do before. So that's kind of fascinating. But I think the main thing about being in business for yourself is you got to change the way that you think about the world. And you have to think about and change the way you think about your role in the world and change how you perceive what you're supposed to do every day and what you're supposed to be spending your time on. I'm of the belief there's certainly room to get work done. We've got to get work done. Now, I'm one of these people, you know, when it's time to work, I can sit down and focus and I can do the work. I'm not afraid to work. I mean, I can work 12 hours straight or whatever I got to do. If I have to sit down and enter data for 12 hours, I can do it. If I have to go on business calls and network and, you know, talk to people and make sales calls and stuff like that, that's not an issue. I can do that. But you end up sitting around a lot or driving or walking or doing whatever you're doing and sort of just mulling over what it is that you're doing. And I think we need to spend a lot of time thinking, what is it exactly that I'm doing? What's my core business? That's the work. That people say, I don't feel like I work, or, you know, the thing about being in business for yourself is you're doing quotes, you know, you're calling people, you're trying to find business, yada yada yada, and sometimes you're so down to the wire, you're like, if I don't find business, I'm gonna be dead. Like, I'm not gonna have anything to eat tonight, or I'm not gonna be able to pay the rent next month. And then sometimes you have great months and you're like, this is fantastic. But you really have to spend time thinking about what it is that you're doing and what you're spending your time on. Because that's really what it's all about. And when I first started doing this, you know, I'm a shift worker. I used to come in and do my radio show, you know, so you'd plan on it or whatever. But I mean, I can remember starting being a DJ. Be here at 7, you're going to be on from 7 to midnight. And that was the job. You got paid by the hour to come in and sit there from 7 to midnight and be the DJ. And then later, you know, you got paid a little bit more if you came in and you came in at 9:30 and helped the music director do what they did. And then you got paid a little bit more and then pretty soon you're a program director and you're a manager and you got to come in at whatever and go to meetings and stuff like that. that. And you associate that mentality with work. And if you're working in industry, that's what people do. They come in at 9 o'clock, you know, they take some calls, or they come in at 7 o'clock, they take a few calls, they go get some coffee, they talk to Sue and Jeff for a while over in sales, and they go over here and they sit back at their desk, and then they got some papers to process. Oh, you got to do these employment forms, and you got to do this, that, and the other thing. And then you got to do this, and then you got to do that, and then you have lunch, and then you come back from lunch and you do a little bit more of that, and you go home, and that's your gig. And you do that for 20 years, and that's what your mindset is. And suddenly you decide to start, you know, a blanket company, or you decide that you're going to start pouring concrete for a living, or, you know, I don't know, make cupcakes, and now you're in business for yourself. And, you know, your mindset is still that same 9-to-5 mindset. And, you know, you're going to go through some major changes, because that's the mindset that's got to go, because you can't make money thinking that way, you know, thinking that about work that way. Well, I work from 9-to-5, and when I'm working, it's 8 hours a day. You're going to be working 24 hours a day. And if you're not prepared for that, it's going to beat you to death. As long as you're doing what you love, then it doesn't matter whether you work 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And that's kind of how I would say to tell whether, you know, I would be the kind of person to be in business for myself. I wouldn't have it any other way. Because, number one, I have problems with authority, so I'm the terrible employee. I would be a terrible employee, because I'm not going to just do what I'm told. I'm going to find a way not to do what I'm told. So this way, if I make a mistake, it's my fault. And if I do anything good, it's to my credit, so I feel good about that. But it's changing that workaday mindset that I have to ask permission, or I don't like to have to ask permission, or this idea that work is sitting there doing the work. I'm going to do the work anyway. I'm doing the work right now as I'm speaking. That's my work. But the other stuff is, you know, the challenge. So I guess, I hope there's been some content in this. I hope that there's been some stuff that you can use. You know, and again, I strongly encourage you, because I think this is the path to self-realization to a large degree, especially these days when working in the corporate world is so soul-deadening and spiritually, you know, just dead, that working for somebody is such a horrible thing. And by the way, if you're 30 or 29, no, I mean, you know, you probably don't have that experience. And, you know, everybody should work for somebody so you can learn what business is all about, although you don't have to. But work today in America's corporate environment, and probably the world, because somebody, we were talking about this last night at this party, and somebody said, you know, what do you think? I was talking about how radio used to be when I started. And when I started in radio, it was three people at the radio station that made all the decisions. And it was fun. And radio stations had a 45% profit margin on the most part, big or small. And everybody made money and you got paid well, even if you were 19, 17, 18 years old. But if you were a full-time DJ, you got paid your $350 or $400 a week and you were happy, you know, and everybody was having fun. And they ruined it, because now it's just this horrible experience. And somebody said, well, that's what the whole world is like. That's what corporate America is like. And they were sharing stories about when they worked for the phone company back in the day, or when they started in the insurance business back in the day, or whatever. So I laughed at that, but our work today is a soul-deadening experience for the most part. Some people love their jobs, and good for you. But for the most part, we don't have much autonomy. We don't get good feedback. Bad things happen, like the United Airlines story. Customer service is terrible. We struggle to provide a service, you know, because they don't give us the resources to do the things we do. And so going into business for yourself is a huge challenge, because you're going to take that chance that you're going to fail, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. So yeah, thanks. Speaking of sponsors, thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. I mentioned the leaky pipes, the leaky toilets, the leaky water heaters that can really add up the water bill. And we don't pay much attention to water bills, but water is getting more and more expensive, because municipalities are, you know, putting a lot of effort into either rebuilding their water, you know, treatment facilities, or they're more expensive, there's more regulation, and they are passing the savings on to consumers, which means you really got to watch your water consumption. And if you have a leaky pipe or leaky toilet or leaky water heater, it can cost you a lot of money. So if you want to get help with that, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. And also for emergency service, Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com. Okay, thanks for listening to podcast 622 on Stitcher.com. iTunes, TuneIn. Honestly, for you Android people, Stitcher.com is the option, or TuneIn or BlogTalkRadio.com. I actually urge people to go ahead and subscribe at iTunes, because that's the best way to get them without inserted ads or without the stopping and the starting that sometimes comes from some of these services. So check it out on iTunes. Really appreciate the liking and the sharing and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter. And I'm getting ready to head back out for summer operations. So the donations for diesel fuel for Mobile Podcast Command are very much appreciated. You can do that by just clicking on the big picture of Mobile Podcast Command at White Sands on the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, clicking on the big donate oval on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. All right. Thanks for listening to Podcast 622. Hope I gave you some good content about being in business yourself. Let me know what you think.